Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
So today in the church calendar is the Transfiguration of Jesus. Transfiguration, another churchy word, and something else in the Bible that's a bit tricky to explain and a good test for a curate sermon. And surprisingly, in some of the biblical books that I have, and I have many, transfiguration is not mentioned at all, despite this being one of the five major milestones in Jesus' ministry, along with his baptism, his crucifixion, his resurrection and ascension. And one book that I read, a prominent theologian said that the transfiguration is a story that is meant to be savoured as it is presented and not explained at all, which does make for a very short sermon. So I will attempt to explain it. But anyway, here in Luke's gospel is this pivotal moment in Jesus' earthly journey, a moment when humans meet God, with Jesus being that connecting point. It's like a partition has been drawn back and now heaven and earth are together and the disciples can see Jesus in all his glory as a son of God. And we've heard in the previous verses to this event that Jesus was telling the disciples that he must undergo great suffering, rejection and death, and then rise from the dead. And so they go up this mountain to pray. And when they reach the top, Luke tells us that Jesus was completely transformed. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. And Mark's gospel says, no one on earth could clean them so white. And Matthew's gospel said, his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. So we're in no doubt, are we, that Jesus has changed into this wondrous glory. And then Moses and Elijah appear in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus, and they spoke about his departure. So we know that they're talking about Jesus' death and resurrection, but the Greek word for departure is actually exodus. And of course, in the first Exodus, Moses had led his people out of slavery, and Moses saw the promised land from the top of another mountain. And in this new Exodus, Jesus will do the same, out of the slavery of sin and death and home to the new kingdom. But the disciples don't understand this just yet, and what they do know immediately is that they are in the presence of God. Because Peter says, Master, it is good for us to be here. He means it's good for us to be up this mountain. Things are less complicated up here than they are down there. How wonderful it is. And Peter wants to keep things in this beautiful mountain scene just as they are, by making Jesus, Moses and Elijah a shelter so that they can stay there forever. And I love this. And maybe Peter didn't want to think that the glory of Jesus there in this perfect splendor on this mountaintop would soon become Jesus on a cross on another hilltop. The disciples had seen God's glory in the face of Jesus and they wanted desperately to hold on to it, for it not to change at all, to not go on to that awful death that was to come. And we can relate to that, can't we? It would be lovely if we could stay in our happy places forever. But we know from our first reading that the disciples did actually go on to tell everyone the news about the story on the mountaintop, because Peter's letter said, we didn't follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And no one is in any doubt of the splendor of Jesus on this mountaintop, this very holy moment from our Lord. But what's interesting about our gospel accounts of the transfiguration is the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke all follow the transfiguration event with the story of a young boy who was so desperately ill with a demon that the disciples had not been able to heal him. And I wondered if this was to show these two aspects of life side by side, the glory and the wonder of the mountaintop, and then the terrible low of the sick boy. The highs and the lows of life which happen to us all. And sometimes the more we are open to God's glory and his many blessings, the more maybe we are open to the pain and suffering of the world. How can we be equipped for the deepest, darkest valleys and yet hold on to those mountaintop experiences? It's difficult, but we know that following Jesus in the highs and lows of life is what we do in our faith as Christians. And God himself says in this passage, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Listen to Jesus, not just on the mountain, but when things are not so good. He is still just as majestic and holy. The very day before Martin Luther King was killed by a sniper's bullet, he said some words of encouragement to a large crowd. He said, "We've got difficult days ahead, but it does not matter to me now, because I have been to the mountaintop. I won't mind. Like anyone else, I would love to live a long life. But I am not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will, and he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I have looked over and I have seen the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I am not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." And this Martin Luther King speech has echoes of Simeon in the temple, where he does eventually see the Christ child brought by his parents, and he just knows that it's him. He has waited all his life for this mountaintop experience, and he has seen the Lord, and he is content that he can finally rest in peace for all eternity. And we see this in the appearance of Moses and Elijah. Although their earthly life has ended, they are very much living in the presence of God in their mountaintop place. These are special moments when we experience God's presence in amazing ways. But we're reminded that it's not enough to meet Jesus in church each Sunday, or on a sun-drenched holiday in the countryside, or wherever our mountaintops happen to be. We're called to be disciples of Jesus everywhere and follow where he leads, being with the sick boy and in the challenging areas of life, bringing about the good news in all places, like those first disciples we heard about in Peter's letters. We have the prophetic message, Peter says, as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. Can we come down from the mountaintops into the dark places with our gospel message? Can we walk on God's paths as bright shining lights? Can we live in God's ways with that faith and that hope and that love, going to the world's mountaintops and the valleys? Can we transform and renew others in the name of Jesus? In the coming week, may you experience the presence of God with joy and his divine voice encourage you. Let us pray. Dear God, in Jesus, the bright cloud of your grace is forever upon us. May we be willing to leave our mountaintops and walk the plains of the everyday as shining lights in your name. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.